And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is November 9th, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to welcome the meeting of President Obama with Prime Minister Netanyahu from Israel that took place just a few hours ago. And we're going to check with the news, and we're going to start with listening to some music and all kind of, you know, of news that we have every day that are changing the world and making it happen. You know, today I know that it was a busy day for everybody because everybody was so excited about the meeting with the president and the prime minister, and they weren't excited as far as, you know, the emotion are high. It's excited because they wanted to see a turn of events. Because the relationship between the two leaders was so straight, you know, so not comfortable that it was a burden to all of us. And to see them actually meeting and talking and getting it, you know, perfectly right. And President Obama, what a humble, I'm serious. Guys, he reached out like a friend, like honorable friends, and we appreciate that so much, because a true leader is the one that overlook all the nonsense of personality sometimes and go over, and you know, there is history in the making, and they are in it, they are making the history, and this meeting will be, you know, the turning of a page of a bad time. And it's perfect. It was perfect. We saw the body language. We saw the posturing. We saw the kind words and the attitude. Everything was picture perfect. It was picture perfect, yes, but it was real. And we sensed it. And we felt it. And we know it was there. So it doesn't really matter, you know, all the details of what they said. Oh, how beautiful we are. No, they didn't say that. But they said that we have a few things to handle. We have a few stories to take, you know, in control of. And we need to proceed. And we keep on going. And that's what makes the world different. When the world leaders take responsibility and see that the outcome of every meeting is essential. And I salute the president for doing so. I'm seriously was concerned, because I don't know how it could have gone, but it went, thank God. So I'm blessing, and I'm thankful, and I'm grateful to God for giving us the opportunity to embrace a friendship among mankind and between our best friends. What's important, guys, you don't understand how important it is for us to have America as a friend. So I want to dedicate some of the songs to America. All right? So let's put some music.
Those walls.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth. And we have Mr. Netanyahu arriving in Washington. And we have some files just before the meeting, because the actual files are not available yet. Though maybe they are, but it's just, you know, too close to call. So let's listen to this.
Our top story for this half hour, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has arrived in Washington for a planned meeting with U.S. President Barack Obama. The meeting is expected to focus on the renewal of a multi-billion dollar military aid package for Tel Aviv. Netanyahu says his trip would also center on recent developments in the Middle East. The meeting will be the first between the two sides since the July nuclear agreement between Iran and the P5 plus one group of countries, including the U.S. Netanyahu was strongly opposed to the deal and tried hard to sabotage it, but failed. The visit also comes amid controversy following Netanyahu's appointment of a new spokesman who has spoken derisively about the Obama administration. Ron Baratz has suggested in his online post said Obama is anti-Semitic and Secretary of State John Kerry cannot be taken seriously. White House officials, including Vice President Joe Biden, have expressed displeasure over the appointment. Palestinian journalist Khaled Omaira joins us now on the line from Al-Khalil. Mr. Omaira, welcome to the program. First of all, give us your thoughts on the recent visit by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to the United States.
Well, I don't expect much from that visit. The American administration seems to be at Israel's beck and call, and everybody, including Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, have come to think that Obama is a lame duck, a kind of lame duck. So this is an opportune time for Netanyahu and others to really to bully Obama to meet all Israel's expectations and demands. Actually, demands is more correct than expectations.
Mr. Omaira, another important development in the occupied territories is the increase of tensions and the rise of violence that the Israeli regimes have been carrying out against the Palestinians since October the 1st. Many believe that obviously that too will not be on the agenda of the talks. How do you feel about that?
Well, the United States has actually come in favor of Netanyahu and the Israeli government repression against the Palestinians. The Israelis are ganging up on Palestinians because Washington is completely supporting Israel, and of course there is no meaningful backing of the Palestinians from the Arab world.
All right, thank you very much, Palestinian journalist Khaled Omaira, joining us on the line from Al-Khalil.
All right, we're back. I wanted to let you listen to some of the real BS that they're talking about. Our call, you know, to say that America is in the back call of anyone, it's really ludicrous, because America is America, and she is whatever she wants to be. She doesn't owe anybody anything. She does what she wants when she prefers that. Okay, so let's start with that. Now, to say that the Israeli are bullying the Palestinian after the attacks, our stabbing attack of people on the ground, it's not just a lie. It's also insult to the intelligence. Now, you guys know that America see clear, the world see clear. What about the European? Everybody stand with Israel when they see people are getting attacked, soldiers are getting attacked with people that camouflage themselves as press. What do you guys want to do? Is that your strategy, Palestinian so-called terrorists? I don't know. What is the strategy here to say, oh, he is lying, America is the, you know, no. they, it's not. It's transparent now. Everybody can see what you guys are doing. And everybody, you know, those lies are over. This is a new age. That's what's so special. And, you know, I've been talking to Doug, our great man behind the scene here that helps make this broadcast come to life. And he gives his heart out, and I want to thank him so much because he has such a you know, lion heart. And he was saying, you know, everything has to be perfect. No, we are changing. The technology is evolving. Yes, we get disconnected. But this is advancement. We are broadcasting from across the world. Doug is in California. I am in Israel. And we are broadcasting to the rest of the world. It's amazing. We need to give thanks to all of this. Now, while we're doing that, we are actually witnessing history in the making. So we see when people do stuff. Now, a guy that write on a Facebook that there was anti-Semitic remarks, which, you know, they every time that something is not is anti-Semitic, it's a rhetoric. Of course, I would I said it strongly. I don't like him to be the advisor for the prime minister, but to say, you know, to try to make a problem between the country because of that, this is a nobody. Is a Doe, you know, John Doe of some kind. He never been before, and he will never be after because it's over for him, right? So what's the big deal? So he said this slur. Okay. I don't know who is he. They say he's a professor. My goodness gracious, I wish that some in the academy will start teaching some of good behavior too. Anyway, all those remarks of, you know, people from the Arab press, very nice. I have no problem putting you on because I can see through, people can see through, and I don't need to hide. Actually, I use you to show how full of it you are. All right? So there you go. For anybody who wants to stand between Israel and America, eat your heart out because we are stronger than ever. Let's get some music and we'll be back after that. All right, we're back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth on BBS Radio. And, you know, we had a very bad accident happen to two Americans who got shot to death at a training facility in Jordan. Two American contractor and a South African colleague were gunned down Monday at the U.S.-funded police training center in Jordan, according to officials. May the rest in peace. It's another easy task. Now, if you're tired of talking, Jordan is starting, and this is a police center, it means that it's boiling. If they shoot American, which is really, really bad, I'm concerned. I'm concerned not because they touch American life, which is very, very dear to us. It's because the audacity for them to do so. You know, there are rules of engagement, like they, you know, there are people, the forces, the good forces that help the work. If they start cutting down, it means that it's jungle. And I would say you have to really reinforce everything. Something is happening in Jordan, and not for nothing. You know, I've been traveling to the north last week. If I remember correctly. And I traveled from the city of Tiberia, which is by a little lake. She's so beautiful, picture-like place with palms and everything. They love her so much because it used to be the, you know, the hub of the entertainment of the local, the Israeli local, and also the religious Christian who come to visit the sites there. But I've been on the way back to, you know, south to Tel Aviv. I've been traveling the wrong route because the GPS takes you anywhere. You know, it doesn't take you, you know, the road you know, takes you whatever road there is, right? So I didn't turn right on the first one, so they realigned the GPS realigned itself. Sure enough, I'm traveling, crossing near the Jordanian crossing. And I'm saying, oh my God, first of all, it's so close to Tiberia, which is ridiculous. It's to be on the border when you are traveling, just, you know, from a trip, it's awful. Yeah, you can imagine how small Israel is. And I have to give it to everybody that thinks that Israel is so humongous and fantastic and doing right. Israel is so tiny. And we don't even have the time to start building it completely because every time they attack us, it's, you know, they have to get off our back because we need to develop some land here because underdeveloped. And as somebody who came from the construction industry, I can tell you, you know, they are a great site for building, great site for tourism, great site for hotels, spas, everything. And I want to do something great for America. I want to bring the Hall of Fame of, you know, the one that you have in Los Angeles, the Boulevard, the All Star Boulevard, how you call it. Doug, how you call that? Anyway, you have to give it, you know, a place also in Israel. There are so many Jewish people that made such a humongous contribution to the movie industry, and we need to make Hall of Fame, you know, places here. And I would say that with the Sinai Desert that terrorists are taking over sometimes, you know, in the south of Jordan. We need to start working on some movies there. So, you know, the activity will push every hostility out because I'm sure that even those kids that think that to give their life for jihad is good, once they'll see Hollywood coming to town, I think that they would like to have a job instead. It will be nice too, because sometimes America is so far away and we forget what inspires all. But inspiration is a good thing to have even for those children. And, you know, they want us dead. They do. They want us over with. And I don't know where they come from, and I don't know why they think that they own this land when we hold the Bible to show for. But let's say, you know, we're going to stay here because we're most powerful. We have our best friends. And, you know, it's interest of the world to have democracy here. But let's build it up economically. Let's make, we have the desert. Let's use it for movies. Let's start giving inspire. I remember when Cinecittà opened in Rome, how many movies, Western movie were developed there. It was humongous. It was great. Anyway, we got some important news to tell you about, so let's go to that.
Ukraine will lose over $2 billion of its annual revenue because of construction of the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline. Robin Dunnigan, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Energy Diplomacy at the U.S. Department of State, claimed. She also reproached Europe for inconsistency. You have to ask, why would you support Ukraine with one hand and strangle it with the other, Dunnigan claimed. She wanted the EU that the Nord Stream 2 can increase the EU's dependence on the energy supply from Russia even twofold. According to Dunigan, the gas pipeline threatens not only Ukraine's survivability and their resources, but it is a risk to fuel diversification in Europe, especially southeastern Europe.
Right, we're talking about gas. Now it's in Ukraine, gas is everywhere. They want it in Egypt, in Israel. They have this deal that they cannot conclude. It's all about natural resources and who is going to get their hands on it. And you know, it's the people resources, it's the heart resources, and they need to start making some universal plan. And I wish I could say I would give it to the United Nations to make a plan for the rest of us, but for some reason I definitely can say that we cannot trust that. You know, the EU are better as far as contributing to the world concerned than the United Nations. United Nations right now, UNESCO is completely in shambles because whatever they're doing, they don't see right. It's like the person they're using is so wrong. You see, an organization is good as its people. And the people that made the United Nations are maybe old folks, so maybe it's old regime, old news, whatever you call it. Change the people. So it's in New York City. Just make it work. You're having an incredible mechanism worldwide of all the world, and it's actually paralyzed by some people, and they are in dark time because they are not developed. You know, I don't see any, let's say they hate Israel because it's true. They had an old 67 years since the 47. All the declaration was against Israel. We had 181 that consented existence of Israel. That's it. All the rest is like, I don't know why they're doing it. But let's forget we're not putting ourselves on Israel's side. We'll talk on American side. America got pushed out of the Humanitarian Council, which Human Rights Council is from America. What's wrong with that picture? We need to reorganize, to re-engineer that. Whatever it is, guys, we need to take a hold of that mechanism. It's consume money, take space. It's in New York City, which is a very, very important point of concern to me, because when you have the United Nations and just in front of it, the two 9/11 happened, the Twin Towers, collapses. I was completely appalled. How can you allow this entity to stay when in front of it got destruction? It means that it's no good. It's like the policeman and the police in some country that I don't want to mention are working with the mafia. What are we going to do? If you guys are not real, reasonable about what we need to do, how are we going to fix stuff? We need to re-engineer United Nations. We need to talk about European, they have a need too. The European Union is entity, but it's within the United Nations. They need help too. They need some higher entity, but there is no higher entity. Those, the mouse that talks, that say stuff, that then they go away, and then they help terrorist organization. Come on. I'm not saying for criticizing it. I'm saying it. We need to act. It's time for action. And we say if we don't have major action, we'll have major pain. Remember that. We have to do something real fast to move, because those refugees are in Europe. Jordan today made smoking signal, which is no good. Syria needs to go to a different mode. We need to take care of all those refugees. It's winter time. When are you going to start? When is going to start? All right, let's get some music and we'll be back after that. Wonderful, wonderful. You got a friend, and trust me, you have a friend here. And it's not easy sometimes, but we do have to overcome this, and we will. We will. And I wanted to have a quote from Ecclesiastes, the book of Koheleth from King Solomon, which says, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to sit and a time to lose, a time to kiss and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sew, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Let it may be peace soon. Because we are really, really in need of that, between brother and sisters and wonderful friends, people that, you know, you can have new friends. Not always. I know that the Jewish people travel along the way many countries, and they saw many, many places, and they have friends all over. And sometimes we lose them, sometimes we bring them back. All right, I got some more news for you. Let's listen to it.
European governments are withdrawing their gold from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Despite the fact that golden bars do not play the monetary role, Big Apple is home to tons of gold. Today, however, the stock is the minimum in the last 20 years. Germany was the first country to request the withdrawal of its gold from the USA. The Netherlands and Austria followed. The assets are being withdrawn to stabilize negative factors in the global economy. The assets will gain more liquidity in the market because supplies will increase. However, the cost of gold may go down because of that, because the state needs not only to withdraw these assets, but to sell them at a good price as well.
Wants its gold back from the USA. That's the market. Guys, you know, a few years back, I remember one of my friends used to say, okay, let's buy gold now. This is gold time. Because he probably knew what's going on in the Arab world, because the Arab do make business with gold. They believe in that. And the Iranian collect gold, and the Chinese make alternative economy with gold. That's where, you know, it's going to mess them up at the end. remember gold, gold has a very, very tricky life. Sometimes when you collect it, it dries up, but then when you want to sell it, it all goes down in a, you know, in a minute. They can lose billions. So I remember what happened in Italy and in the end of the 70s, the 80s, maybe the beginning of the 80s, where the gold just dropped down, like, you know, it went up and then dropped really bad. So I don't trust it as a source of, you know, of course, the whole economy is based on gold and everything, but once they start making it volatile, it's gonna jigger the whole economy, and I wouldn't play with it. Anyway, if they want it back, I don't know what America is gonna do. All right, let's say what we have to do next. We have to talk about the situation in the Russians. You know. What happened with the Russian airplane? Did the information that got gathered, they say that the Israeli gave it to the American and the Brit. I'm not sure how, but I can say that once there is an airplane that is down, immediately after the, you know, ISIS claim responsibility, it was real fast. So usually they say that the few minutes after, the few hours after you get all the truth about the situation, because after the everybody is framing the subject and working on the message and blah blah blah, but I think that that was it as far as the airplane goes when they took responsibility. But let's assume that they took responsibility. Let's say what did they accomplish by putting down a Russian airplane with 200 and more people, dear people, that lost their lives for nothing. In the middle of Sinai. They went, you know, guys, they went on vacation and they never come back. Or whatever, they went and they never came back. What a life you guys are trying to make. But let's say, what do you guys accomplish? Whoever did that, what did they accomplish? All the air forces now from the Arab world will be under scrutiny. Every tourist that wants to go to the peninsula, Arabian peninsula, to the Arab country, is going to be careful. Let's say maybe they're not going to travel anymore because it can jump them anywhere, right? Because you guys are not equipped and you're not accustomed. Maybe, I hope you are, to the security of surveillance that the Western world has. So with one plane, you guys can see now that the whole Arab world is going to be isolated in a way. They're going to make, it's all, remember, what's bad, what goes around, come around. People are not going to trust you guys. And I'm saying you guys, I don't know who you are, but what I'm saying, anything that people do, there is a repercussion, and that act of violence that they took will pay back to the world. You know, they're not going to be traveling that area, and all the Brits are left the Sinai. The Russians are going to be there or not, but then they're going to be overprotective. Okay, that's what you want, to put your economy down or whatever the economy, and they're talking, you know, the world needs to owe them anything. No, we want to travel in peace. It's enough already. Just imagine how long this saga is. It's since 2001 that we all, you know, got into defense mode, you know, security mode, scrutiny mode, privacy, you know, forget privacy. We're listening to everybody all the time, everywhere, anywhere. So, and all of that for the peace of the Palestinian, you guys are have to be kidding, okay? Because those Palestinians, anytime, you know, they're always nice. Look, you want them as a neighbor? No, I don't want them as a neighbor. They need to be, you know, in democracy. That's the rule of conduct in the United Nations. If they remember what they signed them on, they remember that's one of the rules. However, all right, guys, it's coming to be a quarter two almost. Let's have some more music, and we'll be back after with maybe another note of news.
The German Chancellor Angela Merkel has warned that talks about war in the Balkans are not quite groundless. According to the politician, it is connected with the migrant crisis. If the EU member states seal their inner borders for migrants, the peninsula in the southeast of Europe may be deprived of peace. October faced 220,000 migrants who crossed to the EU borders during the only month, the UN data says. The Chancellor demands to take certain decisions on the migrants' crisis, and thus, in order to attach importance to her words, she uses this threat. The threat up to war within the Balkan states. In my opinion, it still comprises a rhetorical moment. But if it all is neglected, if the influx is not stopped on the one hand, and Europeans do not find a somewhat functional solution on the other hand, that can turn into drastic consequences.
Wow. You know, listening to her, I probably sound better because my accent is hard to understand sometimes, but it's my English. What can I do? I do understand it. Well, I try to slow down so you can get what I'm saying. All right. Merkel predicting another Balkan war. Do you think Europe is ready for another war? What is going on? Guys, we need to stop it. We need to put the pressure on whoever is the player and start squeezing, because we are not in any shape or form in the world to have another war. And we are saying in Europe because you don't want to start something there, because usually the Europeans are finishing really bad. So let's put all, you know, the pressure where it belongs. Probably Merkel knows where it is, but if she's saying the Balkan war, it's about they need to readjust everything, I guess, there. You see what we have to deal with these days? I don't know about a leader who feels safe to think, because so much is running, and you know, you can only trust in God. And King Solomon used to say, you know, it's a better smart wisdom, you know, smart man than 10 rulers. Because if you have wisdom, you are going to be okay. So I hope that together we can wise up together. That's why this radio is here. That's why the BBS radio is such a great network. That's why you have to support BBS Radio, because we are all together to collect, to talk, to think together about the world that we live in and about the world that is out there and about everything that can change the way we used to the way we will be. But in a good way, because I predict only good ways. That's the only direction that I want to go in, and that's the only direction we are allowed to go, because destruction is easy. it's like we are over the cliff. That's it. Now we need to get back, rejoin ourselves together, and rethink it. Those great leaders of our times, and you know, every time as these great leaders, it doesn't matter if we see that this way now or not, they are the great leader of this time, all right? So let's give it to them. Of course, we always have to complain, and we'll talk, and we talk bad about them. We'll, you know, but the truth of the matter, those are the heroes of the time. And we need to empower the world with wisdom. So let's do it. So support us. Go on BBS Radio, check, you know, on Facebook, check the page, say hello. We love you. We are listening to you. That's important because we don't know who you are and where you are, and we hope you stay with us. All right, let's have some music. I promised before and we got the news, but now maybe we'll get a good music now. And we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis and The Impossible Truth. And, you know, life is really crazy because CBS Radio is a wonderful network. And we can use news. We can use things that we, you know, everybody is sharing. And they are trying to outlaw anybody who link anything. And it's really difficult for some people to accept because we want to go by the book all the time. And we want to grow from strength to strength, as we say. But they cannot obstacle us with some kind of, you know, restriction of what link you can put on. You guys, you know, good luck. Good luck trying to control the internet. Good luck trying to enforce it. Good luck, because we'll come up with something else. So start with thinking reasonable. Think about what's actually benefit, how we can make businesses or grow. Stop trying to police the world of internet. The world of internet is free. Oh, by the way, if you are so, you know, strong about it, why don't you go on the dark internet first and then you talk to us? Because we are the good guys, remember? All right. I got a clip for you from Donald Trump. Let's listen to this and then we're going to wrap it up.
You said Syrian refugees fleeing conflict in their country, the ones who come here, they're going back.
We're like the caretaker for the world. We owe $19 trillion. We can't breathe. We owe so much. Nobody knows how they're going to pay it off. I'm going to get it paid off because I'm going to do cutting. We have a president that said 3,000, then it was 5,000, then it was 10,000. Now he wants to bring in 250,000 people who nobody even knows who they are. They're coming from areas we don't know. They have no papers, no documents. This could be the greatest Trojan horse. It probably isn't.
Rocketing big news tonight from Donald Trump. He wants to send, in fact, he promises to send back all the 200,000 Syrian refugees he expects to come in this country between now and his inauguration in 2017. All of them go home if he gets elected, he says. And here he is just moments ago making that point.
Now I hear we want to take in 200,000 Syrians, right?
It could very well be. And frankly, you have ISIS. And if you look at a lot of the people that I've been watching on television, it's men. There aren't that many women, relatively speaking. It's a horrible thing in terms of humanity and everything. But, you know, we've got a lot of problems in our country. Yeah. John, we have a lot of problems in our country. We have to straighten out our own problems.
The Republican front, Donald Trump on a new tear over two of his rivals tonight, Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio. Language we can't use here. He's taking aim at the friendship between the two men, and ABC's Tom Yamas on the campaign trail tonight.
It's a stunning reversal. Donald Trump now saying he would deport all Syrian refugees fleeing their war-torn country and seeking shelter here in the U.S.
Donald Trump's not going to get elected president by disparaging people, by attacking people all the time. That's not how you win. You lift people's spirits up to be president of the United States. Mm-hmm. This whole approach of just saying someone's an idiot, someone's low energy, this
Governor,
is not going to...
Listen, you've got Syria, you've got Russia and the U.S., but flying in the same place.
Right.
I mean, one bad move, and that, as you say, huge, that's a huge problem. Don't we need some rules of engagement?
A couple of bad moves, maybe not one, a couple of bad moves. You have World War III over Syria, right? I don't think so, all right? I don't think so. Look, if Russia wants to go in...
All right, I just wanted to tell you, yes, this is Donald Trump. I love him. He's wonderful, great art. But Jeb Bush is our man, all right? It doesn't matter what we have. We have to have responsible adults right now. God bless you all. Orly Benny David, salute you all, and take care. And we'll be here on Wednesday. It's my birthday, so I want some calls. All right? God bless you. Ciao, ciao.